You here? You ready? You know why you're here? Okay. Our prayer this morning was this. That Lord, there's going to be many people that come through the doors. Some for one reason or another. But there will be many that come this morning. Lord, guide and direct to speak to each and every one for the reason they came. Now, I tell you this morning that it's not me that can speak in those multiple facets, but it's the Holy Spirit that will be speaking to you this morning. Whatever words I say this morning will be translated to your heart, your soul, and your mind the way that you need to hear and the way that you need to understand. For I too have been in many services where I've heard the message, but I've heard the message that God needed me to hear that day, not specifically what the pastor or the preacher had spoken on. That is what we want this morning. Because if we truly believe that He has overcome and that He reigns, that truth that we know this morning, then victory is ours. Victory is ours this morning. If you got a chance to read with us during this New Testament reading, Pastor, I greatly much appreciate you leading that. I myself have been transformed by the reading of God's Word. I myself have grown and appreciated more about what God's Word can mean to a life who is willing to allow it to make an effect and take place in my everyday living. So if you got your Bible with you this morning, would you open it up to Revelation 17? It's a great opportunity for us this morning to really come to, I don't want to call it a conclusion, though it is the reading of finishing up the New Testament, but there really is more to the story. Because you're a story. Pastor brought up Mary Ann this morning. Just seeing her walk in 3 weeks ago today, she stood here and asked as we prayed for her before she went into surgery. That's Mary's story. How God has interceded and interacted in her life based upon her prayers and the prayers of others. So how can we in our lives today translate what God is doing in other people's lives and translate it into our own lives? So here's the question this morning I'd like to start out with is, by a show of hands, I just am curious on what your week's been like. So how many of you had a great week this week? Can you just simply raise your hand? All right, thank you. How many of you had a bad week this week? Can you raise your hand? All right. Appreciate your honesty. Well, this message is for you this morning. Aren't you glad? This message is for you this morning. Because the honest truth about Revelation, as we read through 17 through 22, and we get an understanding that there's good news and bad news. There's good news and bad news. And whenever anyone ever asks me, we got good news and bad news, which would you prefer first? I typically say I want the bad news first, because I want to end on a good note. But this morning, I'm not going to give you that option. We're going to go in the order of Scripture, and we're going to go through 17 as we begin in Revelation. I'm going to pull out some key verses for us this morning. I simply say this to you, is that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us through His Word, though it is read and spoken this morning. And I ask that the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. Father in heaven, we thank You for the truth this morning, that we read it and it's alive and well today, and that though it has been on paper for decades and for centuries, Lord, it still speaks to us today in a way that makes sense for us to understand it. And Lord, in our finite being, Lord, Your Holy Spirit is so faithful to be able to communicate and translate in words, in ways that we can understand and apply it to our lives today. For we look forward to Revelation 22. But Lord, we understand that there's more before that that is going to be difficult to understand and difficult to learn, but we pray today that You would give us guidance and direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start out here in chapter 17, and what we're going to flow through here as we close out Revelation is this. So chapter 17 is really going to talk about a progressive destruction that's taking place, right? All these empires have been put in place, and as John is speaking and writing this down on paper, right? So we got the Roman Empire, which has conquered everybody, right? They are ruling everything, and we got the Roman Empire that's in charge. And now if we go to Revelation 17, and just a couple of verses here this morning out of that chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated, and the wine of her adulteries. So here we've got destruction that is coming upon. Really, the scripture here is describing the Roman Empire at the time. And so as you read down through that, we'll forego that here this morning, trusting that you either have or will go ahead and read that. You'll see a description of what we're talking about as John is writing, is that the Roman empires that coming in. So we got from Julius Caesar to Domitian that are coming through and just really wiping Christians out, folks. It's a bad time to be a Christian. It's hard for us to comprehend that here in the States today, in 2016. It's hard for us to understand the tribulation that they took, that took place during that time, the beheading of Christians that called themselves Christians, the followers of the way, the followers of Jesus Christ, but cost them their lives. But the good news is that later on in Revelation, we get to see redemption, not in their own spiritual life, but in the fall that they were beheaded. We're going to see how Jesus Christ, God the Father, intersects and makes wrong right and brings justice to those who deserve justice. And as we go through in Revelation 18 here this morning, and we really begin to see the mourning and loss of a country, of a city that was great. Many people made lots of money off this city, for they were just ridden with sin. They were ridden with terrible things that were taking place and wrongful things that were taking place. But we find in Revelation 18, if we were to go there and we go to chapter 20, verse 20 here this morning in chapter 18, we're going to continue to see the fall of nations. And in verse 20, rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets. For God has judged her, and with the judgment she has imposed on you. Hallelujah. You know what? It's hard for us to get excited when somebody falls. Even if you're not a Cubs fan this morning, it's hard to get excited to see them doing what they're doing right now. For I'm a Dodger fan, so you can understand where I'm coming from. You know, early in our marriage, I was wrapped up in watching those Dallas Cowboys all the time. Forgive me. But when we got married, we didn't have kids for several years after marriage, and I would sit on the Sunday morning before I became a Christian and after I became a Christian. I would sit on a Sunday and just, my number one thing that day, Pastor, was to get home and watch the Cowboys. I don't care if it was noon or if it was 3 o'clock, we're going to watch it. And you know, my day really flowed based upon the outcome of that game. It was bad. My wife said that my temperament and my attitude from the end of that, from that point on, when the buzzer sounded to the end of, to the rest of the day, was really dependent upon the outcome of that game. And see, I found myself for a long time acting that way, and I could never figure out, how do I get out of that? Am I so tied to such a team that my day is dictated upon their outcome of victory or loss? I did not step on the field. I did not coach the team. I was not the general manager. And yet I allowed myself to be so affected by the outcome of the game. In the destruction of Babylon, in the destruction that it speaks of in Revelation 18, you're going to find out that there's not just hallelujahs going on from those that have just suffered from the destruction of that city, But you're going to find those merchants. You're going to find those people who made a life off of that city. They're going to be those on both sides who are weeping and celebration. They're going to be those that are looking at the city that has fallen and really just mourning that loss, because all of the great wealth as they pass through and doing their trades and really doing really well for themselves, and all of that has been set aflame. And on the other side of that, those believers that have suffered under those cities, there is a hallelujah going on, because justice will take place. Trust God this morning that justice will take place. And we believe in that this morning because we sang it, He has overcome. That is what we're praising this morning, is that He has overcome. Now let's go down to Revelation 19 here this morning. There's a couple of key verses here that I'd like to point out this morning for us to read. And God is really doing some, again, we're seeing a progression that God is really beginning to shape and get things ready for what? For the new Jerusalem. We're coming there, folks. So we're going to go to Revelation 19. We're going to begin reading at verse 11 this morning. Verse 11 through 16. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself, but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? That is the God who is coming for our victory this morning. He stands ready and waiting to battle for us today, where we're at right now, not just for tomorrow, but for today. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning, folks. He will forever be that. Whether we come to grips with that today or tomorrow is our decision. For we trust in a God who will continue to guide us and direct us, giving us opportunities and grace to make it through. In Revelation, that same chapter 19, as we read that 19, verses 19, it's getting better, folks. Hang on. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war on the rider on the horse and his army. Can you see it? We've got the battle getting ready to take place between good and evil. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider of the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on the flesh. Wow. What a gory sight. You've got such an opportunity here as we see the war taking place between good and evil. And simply, listen, the Word of God is sharp. The Word of God is spoken. The Word of God has power. The Word of God can do destruction. For the enemy, though they come with swords, though they come with weapons to go to battle, that we find that God simply just needs to speak the word and victory is had. That is what we're going to see. For we got to understand too that in Mark 10:28, see the problem is that we got to realize this, that in Mark 10:28, it says, "Do not be afraid of those that can destroy the body, but not the soul. But let us be in fear of the one who can destroy both body and the soul." Let us not tackle and find ourselves lost following the world, be fear of our body being wasted away. But let us remember that we must follow Him who can destroy both the body and the soul. For that is the truth this morning. You know, we had a great conversation in Life Group on Sunday evening. And those guys are pretty sharp. And as we kind of finished up our Life Group and we came around the conversation and really progressed into this topic, and that is putting ourselves, as we discussed the Sadducees and the Pharisees during the time, how critical we could be of their decision-making in the Messiah and recognizing Him. Oh my word, what are they thinking? We reversed the role and we sat in the shoes of the Sadducees and Pharisees. And we asked ourselves, how would we be of any different than them? For we are privileged today to have a lot of historical data in Scripture. And we look back and we can be really critical of those that made those faulty decisions. But what about us? What about us? We know the end of the story. We've got the book. We know that Jesus wins. Thank you, Pastor Caleb. We understand that. But what are we doing to grab a hold of that and accepting that and living a life that reflects that? What are we doing? If someone were to jot down our life's history, and decades later, our great-grandchildren were to look back and read what we had done and how we had acted and how we had responded to things of Christ, would they say, what were they doing? Did they not know? How could they be that way? Because here's the truth this morning, is that you and I both have choices. It's a wonderful thing, but it can also be harmful. But we have a choice this morning. Let me tell you the truth here today as we continue down, that there is truly a heaven and there is truly a hell. But there is truly a choice that you and I have. That is fact. There will be no destination made for anybody without a choice. And for us this morning, the realization that Jesus Christ is overcome the death and Hades is the truth for you and I to grab a hold of. And how do we live that life out that reflects that this morning? How do we live that life out? Let's get into chapter 20 here this morning. We're getting to the good stuff, folks. I just want you to know this morning that we love you. That our goal as pastors here at Trinity is for all of us to grow in Christ and to make it to heaven. That's our goal. Chapter 20. This is such an important chapter for us this morning that we need to really key to the words here. Pay attention to the words. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding his hand, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He drew him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated on those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony about Jesus and because of the Word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God, of Christ, and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. It's getting good. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from the prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. Here we go again. In number, like they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city He loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. Let me say it again. We have victory. We will have victory. Though it is tough right now, for those of you who said you had a bad week, it's going to be tough. Let me tell you that you're going to have more bad weeks. But let me also tell you that one of these days, whether it be next week or whether it be tomorrow, you're going to raise your hand and say, I've had a great week. We've got to hang on to what He's given us. We've got to be ready to go. Listen, if we look back at Scripture, we understand what took place. We understand that the errors that were made, let us not reflect that. Let us not repeat that. But let us look for Revelation chapter 22, realizing that we are victorious in Jesus Christ. That is all we got to say this morning, folks. That is the answer. But there's steps, I understand. We're going to come to a time in that later portion of the Scripture when there's going to be a couple books that's going to be opened up. There's going to be a book over here, and there's going to be a book over here. And as Jesus, as they come and open up the books of deeds, the books of works, and they call out things that everybody in this whole world has ever done, that's a long tape. But the book is going to be opened for everything that everyone has ever done. And be judged accordingly. And being judged accordingly. And you ask yourself this morning, wow, that's hard. Yes, it is. I can look back to last week. I can look back to 2 weeks ago. Man, God, I really messed up. I don't need that to be in the book. But because He lives in my heart, soul, and mind, I don't worry about that. Because I go to this book over here. It's a favorite book. Book of life. And as He opens up that book, I foresee its alphabetical order, Pastor. Because He's a God. He's a God of order. Right? So He's going to go in alphabetical order. And I think He knows my last name. So He's going to go through here and He's going to travel through the S's. He'll go through Stevens. Some people misspell my word, my name that way, but He knows. So He's going to travel through and He'll get to Stephens. And He'll say, Anthony Dell. And I'll say, amen. This is the book that I'm concerned about. Because when He opens up the book of life, and He reads off the names. I want to be found here. I want to be found here. This will not matter. Trump this with this book right here, folks. And let me tell you what, because we do have the victory, that is the hope that we have this morning. There is no other hope. There is no other hope that we have this morning. We can continue reading in chapter 20, we can continue on in chapter 21, and we can continue on in chapter 22, and you can start back over again. But I'm here to say this morning that there is one place that we want to be when it's all said and done, and we want our name right here. Right here. Because this is all that matters. And you say, well, how do we get there? How did you get your name in the book? Well, I didn't pay him. Because he doesn't need my money. I had nothing else to offer because everything I have is his anyway. I think I remember that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, something like that. So how did I get my name in? Well, I worked real hard. I showed up at 6 o'clock at work and I left at 7. I didn't take a lunch. And I was down at Hesed House every day. It was open in the evening times. And I snuck in to feed my starving children on occasion. And whenever Carla took a trip down to Costa Rica, I wanted to make sure I was on that trip. That's how I did it. I filled the book up with that. I filled that book up with works so I could get into this. No. That's not how it happened. It was December 27, 1992, Monday Night Football game, halftime. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. When I come to the realization that I needed Jesus Christ in my life, That's how it happened. When I came to the end of myself and I realized that you know what? This thing that my wife's parents have been talking about and they're going to church and everything else I've been seeing here and that looks like that's what I need. That's how I got in here. Not because of that, but because of this. Saying yes to Jesus. That's how I got in here. And let me tell you this morning, I don't care what your last name is. I don't care where it's at in the Bible. As far as in the book of life, alphabetically, J's for S, Darren, you'll be in there before I will somewhere. They get down the list. But it doesn't matter where you're at alphabetically. It just matters that you're in the book. It just matters that one day that we recognize that we're in the end of ourselves, that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. Not in fear of hell, but though some it may be that, but in the lieu of that there's a heaven for eternity. Listen, Revelation can describe it the best that they can describe it. Pastor Caleb can break it down for us the best that Pastor Caleb can break it down. But let me tell you what this morning, we can't fathom how good heaven's going to be. We can't truly understand how heaven's going to be like. We cannot comprehend what heaven is going to be like. It is much better and much bigger than you can ever imagine today. I don't care if you're on a beach in Hawaii. It's going to be better than that. I don't care if you're in Florida, Pastor, and it's 85 degrees every day. It's going to be better than that. I don't care if you're walking on the white sand. It's going to be better than that. I do not care what you throw up. It's better than that. Because I serve a God who created the universe. That the Hubble telescope can't even see everything that God created. That's the God we serve this morning. And by golly, I'm telling you what this morning, if that's the God I serve this morning, put me down. Put me down. Choice. I had a choice that day. I had a choice that day. Is it truly what I want to do with my life? We got to want it. We got to want it. Having a conversation this morning with a gentleman who said, church, it's always good to be in church. Not because it's a habit, folks. It's because it becomes a lifestyle. It's encouraging to come and to be with others of like faith that are serving a God who is working in their lives just like He's working in my life. That is the God we serve this morning. But let me tell you what. We got to make that decision today. Because let me tell you what. The truth of the matter is, we can't put a shade over it. There is a hell. And that's a choice. By making a choice, we make that choice. We've got to make that choice to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and trust that He will lead us into the better way and for eternity's sake. I've asked the band to come up this morning. Darren would come. Darren, I'm going to change things up on you a little bit. I know you're not used to that. We're going to go with that last song that you sang. This morning, I think it's imperative for us to hear and heed God's Word. Oh, listen, I've been there. Guy asked me, hey, you going to start going to church? I said, no, not yet. I thought I was smart. I wasn't smart. Little did I realize what that meant. It wasn't just me going to church. What he meant to say was, you're going to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really what he meant to say. And for us this morning, that's the opportunity. The invitation is there. The word has been spoken. God is faithful. He is faithful. Don't rely on this book, folks. That's not going to get us anywhere. That's just going to be what it's going to be. This is the choice we have this morning to make. Do I want to become a follower of Jesus Christ? Do I believe in the Word of God? Do I believe that He came in the flesh, lived the life sinless, gave up His life as a sacrifice for me and for you this morning? That's the question. If you haven't received Him this morning, pastoral staff here at Trinity, we encourage, we want to pray with you. We want to lift you up. We want God to do an amazing work in your life because we know that Revelation 22 is coming. And we want you to be ready for that. This isn't a one-time deal, folks. We were coming to start here to grow in Christ. And as we have these initiatives, when we read the Bible together, it is purpose-driven because we're trying to equip you. Reach, equip, reach. We're trying to equip you and equip me to do greater things for Him today as I walk in these shoes. And that's for you and I this morning. So we're going to sing this song this morning. And if you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, listen, there's nobody up here with the gavel. We just want to come up here and love on you, pray with you, and help you to achieve what God has in store for your life. That's what we want to do this morning. Stand with me this morning as we sing. And if you feel the Holy Spirit guiding you to come down, then we ask you to do that. And we want to go ahead and pray before we begin. Father, your truth is powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, Lord. We thank you today for what you have spoken to my heart and how you prepared us, Lord, today as we listen to the Word, as we heed the Holy Spirit's guiding us, Lord, guiding us into redemption, guiding us into a life that is far better than we can ever imagine. Today, Lord, let today be the day of salvation for those that need it today, Lord. Let us praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.